Thank you for being able to do this interview. We're really excited about it here. Congratulations on your Dominion album. That's really exciting. Such a good album. I mean, I guess it's almost been a month now, Monday, since it was released, but it's so, so good. Even though it's been a month, are you still sort of like on a high from it being released, being on tour?
Hey there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm not really sure what happened after I asked that last question. The call kind of dropped or something happened there.
Okay. Yeah, it's very, very exciting to have the record out. Being on the road is so great. The fans are so happy, and you can see it in their faces. They're just happy to be out and having fun again and singing songs. And to me, that's the best part of it.
Yeah.
Knowing how the music helps people. But yes, it is exciting having the new record out, of course. Yeah. You know, the new songs. People are singing the new songs now. That's quite exciting. And, yeah, I mean, I just hope that things keep going this way, you know, and we get to keep playing more and more as the world is opening up.
Now, I actually was going to ask, are you finding that you're still having restrictions and regulations with the pandemic, or is it pretty much just continuing to open up?
You know, it's just state by state because, yep. In America, our various states have quite a lot of power. And so it just happens to be that Winter Jam Tour typically always is in one main area of the country. And it just happens to be that those are the states that are more open.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of just worked out. I think there's only one show that we had to cancel due to restrictions. And the other ones we've been able to play. So we've been thankful.
That's good.
That everything opens up because we were scheduled for Europe and Russia. And it's time to come back to Australia because we have been in about 3 years, I think.
Wow.
3.5 years, maybe 4.
Yeah.
And so it's time to come back. So, yeah, let's,
get things opened.
Cross your fingers.
Oh, trust me, I am. Okay, so your album, this new album, Skillet's new album, is called Dominion. Can you talk to me about why it's called Dominion, the meaning behind it, where that came from?
Well, the title track has a lot of different layers to it. The most shallow layer, the most general thing would just be this, that for people, Christians, it's really a reminder to us of who owns the world. And mm-hmm. I say that because it's easy for us to forget that God is in control of things, that the world doesn't belong to the devil, doesn't belong to, a virus mm-hmm. or, any nation or government. The world belongs to Jesus. He is Lord of the earth and he is in control. And so I think that that's kind of where this starts to me. It's a celebration of liberty
yeah.
under God. And as you peel the layers back, some of the more specific meanings would be specifically that, another word for dominion would be authority. I don't have authority for things outside of myself. Like I can't control a pandemic and I can't control, when nations open and close and economies and all the various things that we're all suffering through, but I can bring some control and rule to my own mind, my own body. We, in those of us who know Jesus, of course, we are not slaves to fear. We are not controlled by fear. In fact, the mm-hmm. Bible says actually the opposite. The Bible says, "For I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." So a lot of this album is very uplifting, I hope inspirational, and I hope encouraging to people to not live your life in fear. If you've been set free from that, don't live in it. Doesn't mean there's not something happening that's frightening, but you do not have to be controlled by it.
Right. I think one of the things even that my husband and I have been talking about recently is this idea of fear is a feeling, and it's okay to feel fear, but not to let yourself stay in that place. And then what are the actions that come out of that? And obviously you should be producing good fruit and not fruit that come from a place of fear. So if someone that was listening were to struggle with that idea, what would be an example of how do you come out of fear? How do you fight fear? Do you have any advice on what that might specifically look like?
Well, I guess it's just some of your practical examples. I guess it depends on what that practical example is. I mean, I certainly would say as we're looking at the world that we're in right now, the decisions that we make for our lives and the way we treat other people, I mean, there's such an absolute pandemic of fear that I think is worse than the actual virus. I mean, it's like people are so afraid they're going back into depression and anxiety and alcoholism. You know, I know people that have been clean and sober for 7 or 8 years and got so depressed that they just couldn't handle it, you know, and they became sort of slaves to this addiction again. And it's just so absolutely saddening. So I find for me, I mean, I find that the greatest peace is in recognizing that Christ is in control. He is my hope. He is my salvation. He's my strength. And that's what the Bible says, whom shall I fear? Mm. And I mean, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And so I think when you rest on Christ and you rest on the fact that your life belongs to him, and whether it's a good day or a bad day, or a good year or a bad year, whether it's full of blessing or whether it's not, you know that God is in control of that, and he will use all things for the good of those who love Christ according to his purpose, the Bible says.
Yeah, very good. Now, I read somewhere that you guys as a band are describing this album as very rebellious. Can you explain what that means?
It is. I mean, it's a very kind of like, I call it righteously defiant record. It's a positive rebellion, I said one time. It's like, I will not give in to fear, and I will not be, you know, make decisions based on all these things that I cannot control. And I mean, I think even now, even to stand up for liberty in the world we're living in right now, that in itself is a rebellion, because I think that most around the world, most people have traded in safety for liberty. Actually, the opposite. They traded in their liberty for safety, excuse me. And I think that comes out of an extreme fear that the worst thing in the whole world is happening, and no matter what it takes, you take it. You know, make me safe, even at the cost of complete isolation. Kids that haven't seen friends in 2 years and haven't done schooling. You know, I just met somebody today who said that her child is almost 2 and has never seen other kids without a mask on. You know, and I'm like, I don't know what that does, because I'm not smart enough to know. But that's going to have repercussions. And to me, that personally, I think that a righteous rebellion is saying, you know what, there are some things you can't control, but I'm not willing to sacrifice all of the good things in my life and the joys of my life to be to have some sort of false sense of safety.
Yeah, that's so true and so good. On the album, do you have a favorite song?
I do. There's a song on the record called Destiny.
Okay.
And that's my favorite song. It reminds me of, it's very like Skillet sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be recognizable as Skillet. And I like the message of the song. I mean, the music's cool. It's heavy. It's really melodic. It's kind of pretty, actually, even though it's got really heavy guitars.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are, I think, powerful. It's about forgiveness and about, I don't know how many people will pick up on it in the song exactly, but this is what I'm getting at. But, you know, forgiveness is one of those amazing, powerful things when you forgive someone who doesn't deserve it, frankly.
Yeah.
Just like I don't deserve it, and probably you don't deserve it, and all of us don't deserve it. We certainly don't deserve for Christ to forgive us. Forgiveness is one of these things that when you forgive somebody that doesn't deserve it, and even if they haven't asked for it, there's this incredible freedom that you experience. And, you know, I guess I was inspired by in the book of 1 John. You know, in 1 John, he says, if anyone claims to love God but doesn't forgive his brother, then he's a liar. I mean, that's really harsh language from the Bible, isn't it?
Yep.
Like, wow, that's pretty harsh. And you suddenly realize that the Christian life is all about forgiveness. Forgiveness is just has to be the air that we breathe. That's just a part of life. You have to breathe. You have to forgive. And when you do, you will experience this wonderful forgiveness. And you won't be locked up. You know, you won't be locked up in this slavery of bitterness that kind of comes in and puts its roots deep down, and it kind of destroys your life, poisons you. That's a biblical, you know, principle. So that's really what Destiny is about. It's about not giving in to those dark feelings of bitterness. It's that you want to hold on to. And once you finally let it go, you experience freedom.
That's actually so good. And I think that'll resonate a lot with our list. I mean, it would resonate with anyone, but here in Australia, we actually just celebrated I Forgive Week last week. It ended this past Monday. It's literally a story about two parents who forgave a driver that hit and killed three of their kids just 2 years ago. It happened right here in North Queensland, but they turned around and forgave the driver. And it not only set them free, it set the driver free. And the story that has come out of the driver's story as well in their situation. And they literally created this week in a campaign to just spread that message of what forgiveness does when you're able to actually forgive someone or ask for forgiveness, whatever the situation is. So that really ties in with what we have been honoring this past week. So that's good. Two things that really stood out to me about this album. Now, I think in most of your albums, you guys have such an amazing way of sparking fire of faith into people. This one seems a little bit more amped up to me. I just think there's like a conviction that kind of comes with it that I really appreciated of like, this is how you should live as a Christian, but also like, this is what happens and the authority you have in that. The other thing I really liked about it though, was just how each song almost sounds different. Whether it's the different instrumental standing out or different vocals standing out. Can you kind of just talk to me about the process of how this album came about or, you know, how you began to sit down and write the songs? I think it's been 2.5 years since your last album. So even in relation to, you know, how you normally write and produce the music on your albums.
Sure. Well, it was unique because of COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, we were going to be flying out to the producer. We're going to write, you know, we already had a couple of song ideas that we really wanted to work on. COVID kind of threw a wrench in that because some of the travel restrictions had gotten implemented again at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I don't know. I really want to work on this idea. Maybe we could do it over Zoom, which I did not want to do at all.
That's fair.
Writing over Zoom was just like the most sterile thing I could ever imagine. I was really against it, but I really wanted to finish this song. And so we tried it, and then it just went really well. I mean, I think to everybody's shock, it went really good. And I think maybe some of the reason is me and my wife, Corey plays guitar for Skillet, and we write the music together. We have a studio that Corey engineers, and we were able to do some of the recording ourselves, and we can just send it, you know, to the producers. And then the producers would add to it and change it and send it back. And they give me a Zoom call, an audio message, and they say, hey, why don't you try this next time? And I would go in there and try it. And it just ended up being kind of cool because I think we tried different things that we may not try had we all been in the same room.
Yeah.
It's almost like, hey, nobody's here to say no. Let's try it, see if it's cool or not. And I think because of that, we have different kinds of sounds than we normally have on a Skillet record. Maybe I would have said no to some things, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
I'd probably have been like, no, I don't like that. Don't do that. Definitely not.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they try it, and I'd be like, yeah, I kind of like it. It kind of grew on me. Let's give it a shot. And then likewise on some of the vocals, you know, some of the vocals are a little different on this record. There's a little bit of rapping.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
I've never tried some of that. The rapping I've never really, not really ever done to this level.
Yeah.
So I thought, why not try it? Nobody's here.
It was really good. That was actually one of my questions is on White Horse, correct? You rap in that song. It sounds amazing. I love that it was like a change in what you normally do. I actually really appreciated that.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to notice.
Yeah,
yeah, it's something that when it comes in, you just don't expect because we never do that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I wanted to try. And my producer was like, this actually turned out really good.
Yeah,
and it did. And I think what I like most about the record is, you sort of alluded to it, I think, about the lyrics. I think the lyrics are quite for now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call it. I think it's an album for now. I think the lyrics speak to the moment we're in right now with an urgency and a clarity that maybe is kind of created by the moment that we're in.
Another question I have is for the Surviving the Game song. Now, you guys have a music video that came out for that. Where was that shot? Because I really like the music video, but it also looked very similar to the album cover as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted to kind of try to keep the theme going. We shot it actually in a desert in outside of L.A. But the album cover art we actually did in the Salt Flats, but they're only a few hours away. But we wanted the video Surviving the Game to kind of look a little bit similar. It just felt like the desert was the right place, and we kind of liked that idea of traipsing through the middle of nowhere, because that's sort of what the last couple of years has been like.
Yep, the season that we're in, for sure. I have just a couple of sort of like my Sunday spotlight questions. It's veering off of the album, but it kind of ties in. So one of the questions that we even had come in from a listener was sort of, how do you balance your music, ministry? You have a podcast, your family life. What does that look like for you and your wife?
Well, I have to say it's very difficult because
I can imagine
there really is a lot going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're just very regimented. It's very like, all right, we have to do this and this and this, and everything's scheduled out, and we all go to work in our various, you know, respective day gigs and interviews and various things we do. And then we come together and we have to do Skillet meet and greets and concerts and this and the other. It has gotten extremely busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's to do with really the urgency in which I feel people need an encouraging voice to help explain what's happening in culture, to maybe break down, you know, what's happening in the world and give give my worldview take on it. And hopefully it can help people out. I've seen such great fruit from it and seen so many people that have been so very thankful for it that I thought, man, I really need to keep this going, even though it's frankly, it really is a lot of work. And then you put yourself in the limelight for a lot of people that are going to hate what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it because I think it's helping people out during a really chaotic time.
For sure. How do you, as a band, stay so relevant? Like, I was just thinking about when you guys first started, and it was so relevant at the time, that at the age that I was at and needed to hear the music. But you guys stay so relevant as, I mean, seasons change, as there's been a pandemic. Even with today's culture, the way that culture has changed and the way that you need to get the message out there, what does that look like for you as a band?
Well, I mean, for me, staying relevant is kind of, I enjoy it because I enjoy philosophy and culture and politics and even a slight bit of geopolitics, which I don't claim to be good at, but I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing what's happening in the world so that I can understand how to speak to it more clearly. And I don't like not understanding things. It makes me feel off kilter, and I really don't like it. When I don't understand why something is happening in the world, it'll drive me kind of bananas. And so I kind of have to find it out. And then that, to me, is how I stay relevant, because then I meet people that go, I just don't understand what people mean when they say your truth.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those things you always hear of people like, well, she shared her truth. And it used to drive me crazy. And after a few years of studying and reading things, I was like, okay, I understand why people say your truth. And now when I talk to somebody that's all frustrated, why do they say your truth? I can explain this is what they mean when they say that. This is why it's a dangerous thing to believe. And it comes from a totally different philosophy than what we grew up with. That's the reason you feel like that the whole world has changed, because the whole world has actually changed. I mean, the philosophical underpinnings of society all across the world, especially in the Western civilization, and that, of course, would include you guys, the whole underpinnings of our civilization have changed in terms of philosophy. So everybody over 35 years old is completely baffled all the time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just have a couple more sort of random questions to go along with the show. And we'll just kind of wrap it up there. I won't keep you. But I just wanted to, I had some personal questions. But what specifically called you into music in the first place?
Well, my mom was a music teacher, a piano teacher, and a voice teacher. So I just grew up on music and always loved it. It always spoke to me, always moved me. And then, you know, when I started playing, it was really the only thing I was good at, really. I mean, I played sports, but music was the only thing that I really excelled at. And I just believed in it. Mm-hmm. And Christian music really helped me growing up. And so So I just really believe, you know, I think that God could use me to do that. I think that I could write songs that could help people through a bad day and, you know, help give them some hope along the way kind of a thing. And, you know, that's kind of how I got into it.
So good. Now, how did Skillet start? And also, how did you decide on the name Skillet?
Well, the name Skillet was silly. We started because I was in a different band. I've been playing the band since I was about 15 or 16. Started writing my own songs around 16, 17. And when I was in college, I was taking music, you know, pretty seriously. And actually, someone had encouraged me and said, hey, I think you would be good with this other guitar player from a different band. He said, you guys should get together and write some songs, start like a little side project for fun and find a drummer.
Yep.
And, you know, it'd be like cooking, taking all these different ingredients and throwing it all into a skillet. That's what he said. And somebody said, you should call it Skillet. That'd be funny. And so we did.
So good. One last question. What has been maybe the biggest lesson, life lesson that has sort of helped you, like something that you've learned from or has really just helped you get to where you're at, where the band's at today?
Life lesson. Oh, I got too many life lessons. I mean, the best life lesson I've ever been given is actually scripture. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. That's the best life advice there is, because it's, to me, what it means is I'm not living for myself. I'm not living to just do whatever makes me happy and this and the other. It means that I'm being a, I'm recognizing that I am a participant in a world that I did not create, I cannot control. And that means that I have a reason for being here. And if I was created, then that reason has to be to know my creator, to do what he wants me to do, to sort of like fall in line into his design for the way the world works. And that's where I find true joy and happiness in that relationship. So I usually tell people, you know, once you get playing music or you sell a bunch of records or you start to make more money at concerts, a lot of people get all those things and they get really wealthy and really powerful and they're never really truly happy.
Yeah.
Because, that, you know, like they always say, you know, money doesn't bring happiness. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It has to be something else in life that is above this world. And that's the best advice I've ever been given. And it's been proven true in my life.
So good. Well, John, thank you so much for taking the time with me today. Congratulations on this album and being able to tour, you know, mid-pandemic. It's really amazing to be able to see you guys on tour and just keeping up to date with you.
Well, thank you. It's great to chat with you. Have a great one. I hope to see you down under.
Yes, you too. Thanks, John. Bye.